So have you ever felt unseen? I wonder if you felt unseen for one reason or another. Perhaps you've been in your place of employment and just worked and worked and worked, and yet your boss doesn't seem to notice. You've been unseen. Perhaps your age makes you feel unseen, maybe too young or too old. You feel like you get looked over. Maybe there's other outward characteristics that people see, and they see those instead of seeing you. I wonder if you've ever felt unseen. My guess is you have. And my guess is we've all been in a place one time or another where we have felt unseen, where it feels like just people around us don't see us, they don't notice us, and they just seem to keep going past us. This season, during Lent, we are going to be studying the Gospel of Luke. And this is the Gospel of the Unseen. It's as we study this Gospel, what we're going to find is that Jesus reminds us that God looks at the unseen and says, I see you, I've come for you, I love you. We see this over and over in the Gospel of Luke saying, teaching us that God says, I see you, I've come for you, and I love you. And we see this taught over and over. And as we read through the scriptures, this is my hope, that you'll really internalize what the Gospel of Luke is saying. And we might study this in multiple ways. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke in worship during all the services. But there's also a daily study guide that's going to be pushed out on Facebook and on our website, and you'll be able to go through each day and kind of read a little bit of the Gospel of Luke. And there's just a little bit of scripture reading and then some reflection questions. So I hope you'll take advantage of reading those scriptures. Steve Gosling is a member of our congregation, and he wrote a book called To Seek and to Save. This is a commentary on the Gospel of Luke. And so what a blessing to have the author of that book in our church. And so that book is available, the links in your Bible app and on Facebook. And I hope that if you want to go a little deeper, you might spend some time reading that commentary. But here's ultimately my hope for each and every one of us as we go through Lent and journey towards Easter, that we're going to be reminded that God sees us. We all need that reminder every once in a while. And we'll spend these next 40 days or so remembering that God sees us. And if by chance that you're feeling in a place where you're thinking, I feel seen. I feel seen by God. I feel seen by other people. Then my hope is that you'll start seeing the unseen. That reading the Gospel of Luke will help us notice some people we often pass over. And so that's my hope for us, is that as we journey through the Gospel of Luke this season. And so we're going to start with Luke chapter 1, verse 1 as we get into this study. And I invite you to follow along using your Bible app. And there's more scriptures in there and there's other links. And so following along in the Bible app is kind of the best way to stay connected. Or this might be a great season to bring your own Bible, because we'll be really looking at a lot more verses. And you might just have the Gospel of Luke open as we go through this series. But in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we see who the author is and who the recipient of this letter is. So it says, since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. Right, so this is the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, and here we see that Luke is the one writing this letter. And so Luke, what we know about him is he's a physician, and the Gospel of Luke is written in classical Greek. So this is some high-class Greek that the author is writing with. So he's well-educated, he's a physician, and he's probably seen by the rest of society. And so we see this, and Luke starts going back to the sources and really digging in to make sure that this is the most accurate account that he can put together. And then we discover that Luke is writing this account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to a man named Theophilus. Theophilus is a Greek word, a Greek name, and it means lover of God, one who loves God. And what we also know is that it says the most excellent Theophilus. This is the way Luke addresses him. Most excellent was a way of addressing somebody often higher than you. It was sometimes a way of addressing a Roman official or someone with status. And so many scholars think that Theophilus was a patron for Luke. That Theophilus said, I really want to know who this Jesus person is. And so he commissioned Luke to write this story, to do all this research. So if he's a patron, he's got some extra money he wants to know, and he says, okay, go and do this research. And so Luke has really set aside to go figure out, what is the truth concerning this Jesus Christ? And so that's the letter, that this kind of sets the stage for the letter. But we see that we've got somebody who is seen writing the letter, writing to somebody else who is seen. He's got some status, he's got some extra money to spend on this, and so it's two people who are fairly seen by the rest of society. But Luke's gospel reminds us to see others that are often unseen. And I think we learn that when we study Luke and we learn a little more about Theophilus, we start discovering, oh, if we're feeling seen, we've got to make sure that we're looking for the unseen among us. And so we continue with the Gospel of Luke, and there's this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And if you'll remember that, Elizabeth is extremely old. She's past childbearing age, and she's just been praying her whole life for a child. She's felt unseen by God numerous times, and yet finally, she learns that she's going to have a child. This child is going to be John the Baptist. So this woman goes from feeling unseen to finally, something's going on. I'm feeling seen by God. And so we're not going to go into that text today, but you can study it in your daily devotional guide that's sent out. And so I hope you'll read those passages tomorrow. But then we get to the story of Mary, somebody who else was likely unseen as well. Mary is in Nazareth. And Nazareth is just, it's the spot that nobody noticed. It was an unseen town. If you've ever driven through West Texas and had to go from 80 miles an hour to 40 miles an hour and then back to 80, you know those towns that you have to stop in or slow down in and you go, why did I have to do that? There was nothing there. That's Nazareth, right? It had probably 400 to 500 people living in the town, and it, on most maps, it wasn't included on the maps. There was a town about 4 miles away where all the good action was. That was the correct side of the tracks to live on. There was a Roman amphitheater. There were great gardens and great structures. And that was the town to be in. That's where the people that were seen were. The unseen people, the people that worked for the people in the good town, were in Nazareth. And so that's where Mary is, this young woman from the wrong side of the tracks, this unseen town. And when we think about Mary, I wonder if you've got any wrong impressions of Mary. I know I grew up kind of having the wrong impressions. I enjoy art history, and I think Da Vinci does us a disservice. So this is Leonardo da Vinci's The Annunciation, right? Do y'all see this, how beautiful it is? Do you see Mary reading this book in front of this really nice mansion? Like, most likely, Mary's family didn't even have a book. She's a 12 and a half year old girl. She's not going to know how to read, right? Leonardo was a phenomenal, like, brilliant human being, and he was a great Ninja Turtle. But he does us a disservice by making us think that this is Mary. Botticelli, in the same time period, in the late 1400s, does this painting. And it's the same way. I call it the Heisman Mary, right? She's got that pose. But notice, she's like, oh. She's got this elegant flowing gown, this beautiful tile floor. And so we sometimes get an image of Mary in our minds like this. But y'all, she's not from a place like this. Henry Asawa Tanner paints this picture, and I think this one's a lot more accurate, right? This humble, kind of scared girl in the corner of her room, The bed is unmade. She's unseen. And yet this angel appears in her room saying, I see you. I think Tanner's portrayal of the Annunciation is probably a lot more accurate. What we also know about Tanner is that he was an African-American artist born in 1859 in Pennsylvania. And in his autobiography, he writes about the sting of racism. Growing up trying to become an artist, but also having so many racist incidents in the 1800s going against him. I wonder if Tanner at many times felt unseen. And so he had to dig into the scriptures to really figure out who is God revealing God's self to in the midst of this. And so Mary is this unseen person in her unseen town who gets seen by God. And so the angel comes and says, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to have this child. And so she then travels to her unseen aunt, right, Elizabeth. And she shares these words. You've heard them before, the Magnificat, right? It's these words of celebration from one unseen person to another. And she says this, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. And it continues with the celebration. It says, Mary says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. And he has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And he has sent the rich away empty. As Mary, this unseen girl, is saying these words, what a celebration. She's finally saying, Elizabeth, you and I are seen. We're seen by God. God's coming to us and some good things are going to happen. I just know it. And so Mary celebrates this as somebody who is feeling unseen. But I do have to go back, right? This is written by Luke to Theophilus. And so I wonder what Theophilus is reading or thinking as he's reading this for the very first time. Right? Picture yourself in Theophilus' shoes, right? Got a little money, a little power, and I'm going to pay this person to write this story for me, to get all the facts together. And Theophilus is reading it, and he's reading it, and it says he has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He's going, I know some friends on thrones. And he's lifted up the lowly, he's filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away empty. I wonder if Theophilus was having some second thoughts about commissioning Luke to write these words. I wonder if they were kind of making him feel a little uneasy, but I wonder if these words also make us feel uneasy sometimes too. If we're feeling seen, if we are feeling like we've got some wealth maybe, these words kind of stir in our hearts and our stomach and kind of make us feel a little uncomfortable, but here's the good news. Theophilus didn't rip up the manuscript. Like, he kept going because there's good news for every single one of us, whether we feel seen or whether we feel unseen. So let's keep going through this gospel. So we see this interaction between this celebration between two unseen people, and then it comes to the birth of Jesus, right? Born in a manger in Bethlehem. And if you don't know the service or don't know the story, come back December 24th. We'll make sure you know it really well, right? So Jesus has this birth. Jesus is born. And then we move through the chapter of chapter 2 of Luke, and we come across the shepherds, right? The shepherds were the people who were unclean in society. These were the people who were unseen. They lived outside the city limits. They were ritually unclean. They were physically unclean. These people were unseen. Most people lived each day without thinking about the shepherds. And yet, hear this passage again. We read it earlier, but it says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. God shows up to these shepherds and says, come and see this child. Right? I don't know if that would work today because parents have a way of kind of forming a protective shield around their babies. I don't know if you visited a new parent recently, but this is kind of what happens. If you go bring a meal to somebody who just had a baby, like you show up, you're all excited to get to see the baby, and the gatekeeper opens the door, right? The baby is not at the door, but the gatekeeper is at the door, and they open it, and you reach out your hand, congratulations! And as your hand is outstretched, they grab it, turn it, Purell it. Right? Right? We've got Purell back here today, too. So, but they Purell it. And then they take you into a different room where you have to wash your hands. And they're noticing that you're washing for 45 seconds and there's enough suds, right? And then eventually you get to go and see the baby. And I haven't ever talked to a single young parent who is on the very first day when their child has been alive when they hear the trash truck coming down the street. I haven't ever heard of a parent going, oh my gosh, we got to go outside and going and greeting the trash collectors and saying, look at my child. I'm so excited. I wanted to make sure that you knew we had this beautiful baby child and would you like to hold her? Right? That doesn't happen. And yet here we are in the Gospel of Luke and what we see is that God has sent God's son to Bethlehem, and the Christ child has just been born. And God's looking and seeing the whole city of Bethlehem, and there were people that had showered that day, right? There were people who were pretty clean, and God looks past them. And God finds the people that everybody else thought were unseen and unnoticed, and God goes to them and says, you know what? I see you, I'm here for you, and I love you. And I want you to be the first people to get to celebrate the birth of my son. God shows up and says, I see the people who are unseen. My hope is that we might notice God seeing us. This week, here's my challenge to you. If you're feeling like you are unseen, reflect on chapter 1 and 2 and ask yourself, do I really celebrate that God sees me, that God is here for me, and that God loves me? Can we rest in that good news? Can we spend some time soaking that up and just remembering when the rest of the world doesn't see us, God sees us? And if we're feeling seen, my challenge to you is this. Who is God calling you to see? Who in your daily life is unseen? And how can you make them feel seen and appreciated? My guess is that we'll have to bounce from one set of questions to the other throughout the week. At some moments we feel seen, and at other moments we feel unseen. And yet there's a call for reflection and then a call for action for all of us in this. My prayer this week is that you might feel seen and then celebrate with others to make sure that they feel seen as well. Would you pray with me? Holy God, thank you for seeing us. God, as we sometimes think that we are small, as we sometimes think that we are insignificant, God, we are reminded that you see us, that you love us. Wow. Out of all the people on this world, God, it is pretty moving to be reminded that you love us and that you care for us. Thank you for that. And God, we pray that we might not only live our lives feeling seen, but that we might reach out to those who feel unseen and share your grace, share your mercy, and share your love so that somebody who is having the worst day, that feels absolutely passed over and passed by, might feel like somebody when they talk to us. It might feel like a child of God. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As the ushers come forward for this morning's tithes and offerings, our youth are on a retreat right now. And middle school and high school are times where we often feel unseen. Whether it's in the cafeteria, whether it's in the classroom, it can be tough years. But we have a whole group of youth right now that are feeling seen. Dara is our youth director, and her number one spiritual gift is encouragement. And I don't know about y'all, but when my children are youth ages and they're feeling unseen, I want a youth director who has the gift of encouragement that can make sure that they feel seen. And every single adult who chose to stay up late and wake up early is making sure that every youth this weekend feels seen and that they feel loved. And so your prayers and your offering and all of your support help make sure that every youth in our congregation feels seen. Thank you for your generosity. Would you please join with me in our prayer for the offering? You'll find the words on the screen. God of the seen and of the unseen, thank you for seeing us. We offer these gifts as a gift of our thanks for seeing us, being with us, and loving us. Use these gifts to help others feel that same love. Amen.